It's kind of funny. I think all of our minds do this, but I notice it with mine. You notice how you'll start to think about something which will leapfrog you onto something else and something else and something else, and you try to explain to people or to someone else why it is you all of a sudden got on this topic, and they look at you like you're crazy. Well, you get to watch me do that this morning. Yesterday was my father's birthday. He turned 84. And so I called him, and we were talking on the phone, and we have a great relationship, my dad and I now. We didn't when I was a kid. We didn't when I was a teenager. We didn't most of my adulthood, but we do now, and that's really cool. My dad has this diamond ring. It's pretty big. It's got really large diamonds on it. In fact, there's so many, it says continued on other ring. It's huge, this thing. It really is heavy when you hold this ring. And my father loves this ring. And so when my brothers and I went to visit my dad recently, my dad was, 83, almost 84, and my brothers are walking through the house going, "I want this. I want this." It reminds me of us watching cartoons when we were kids on Saturday morning. And we'd see something come on and we go, "I want this. I want this." Except they're walking around my father's house while he's still alive going, "I want this. I want this." And my dad said, "Well, I promised you the ring." And I said, "That's great." And then I realized I don't think I'll ever wear it. If I get it, I've already got a ring. I bought this ring the day that I finished my book, Happy This Year. I had it custom made on the internet for $51. It says happy on it. And it reminds me that the most important thing is to be happy. Not to carry around all these rare, shiny stones. There's nothing wrong with the rare, shiny stones, but what this is that part of where I was talking about, your mind goes from, here we go. Why is my father's ring so much more valuable than mine? Well, it's made out of gold and it's made out of diamonds, both of which are rare, right? Both of which are rare. That means that only a limited number of people can have them. That means, based on human behavior, more people want them. Therefore, we tend to want what other people want, rather than ever considering to ourselves, what is it that I really want? What do I really want? And if value is based on scarcity, and there's only one of you, only ever has been one of you, only ever will be one of you, you already own the most valuable thing there is. And yet you treat it like it's the least valuable sometimes. I know I do. Everybody else is smart, competent, capable, attractive, except the bald guy in the mirror. And then I realize people are looking at me the same way and not valuing themselves. I'd say that's a problem. Wouldn't you say that's a problem? I would say that's a problem. Now, 20, 30 years ago, I tried to get rid of the word problem. I started using the word challenge. That was a very in-motivational thing to do then. Okay, what's your challenge? I remember going to see Tony Robbins one time, and people would get up on stage with him. He'd go, "Okay, what's your challenge?" That's how Tony talks, What's your challenge? I don't care what I call it. It's a problem. And I've got one. Heck, I got bunches of them. So do you. You know what I like to do? I like to look up the words that we use that we think we know what they mean and then realize so often we don't know what they mean. The first definition of the word problem is a question that needs to be solved or answered. Wow. That reframes even better than challenge, doesn't it? Challenge is just supposed to get you riled up so you go after it. But if you approach your problems as questions that just need to be answered or solved. Because when it's a problem, it's a big, solid thing. Have you noticed that? I've got a problem. Wayne Dyer talks about the problem with relationships is you got two people with problems trying to sit down and fix the relationship. And that's why you sometimes need to bring in an outside party who just isn't part of the problem. Or should I say, the question that needs to be answered or solved. So if you were to look at your problems and say, this isn't a problem, this isn't a big, hairy, scary thing, it's a question. What's the question? And that's the question. Because every problem brings its own questions. As I thought about this, there's three different types of problems. There's MPs, YPs, and GPs. MPs, those are my problems. And as I said, I've got a bunch of them. My parents liked their problems so much, they packed me up a bunch of them to go with me when I left. And I've been slowly dishing some of those out to my daughter over the years, as little as possible, but it still happens. I started thinking, what are some of the problems that we as individuals have? Procrastination, irritability, fear, disorder, self-seekingness, overbearingness, the other side of that, timidity, laziness, history of making the same poor choices in relationships, difficulty in sharing feelings or emotions, paranoia, feeling unloved, not understanding others, feeling trapped, lack confidence. If you've got any of those, it's just a question that needs to be solved or answered. You figure out the question, you figure out the answer. Those are MPs. Those are my problems. Or, in your case, those are your problems. Then there's YPs. And that's from your perspective, that's somebody else's problems. Let's see, what other types of problems could some of those people have that would be their problems? Well, how about procrastination, irritability, fear, disorder, self-seekingness, overbearingness, timidity, laziness? But you know what? All of a sudden, because it's your problem and I have to deal with you, you're the problem. One of the things we do so often is somebody else will have a problem, a question they need to resolve, or an issue they need to solve. And out of neediness, clinginess, whatever buzzword, we get into it and we try to get involved in their problem. Two of the things I loved when I was in Africa several years ago. In the United States, if you're a parent and your child doesn't do what you say, you raise your voice. And if the child still doesn't do it, you raise it louder. That's what we do. In Africa, what they do is they tell the child to do something, and then if the child doesn't do it, they say it again softer. And they keep cutting the volume until the child stops whatever he or she is doing and goes, wait, what? That's not making the child's problem the parent's problem. The other thing is they have a word there. You've heard me say it before. It doesn't directly translate into English. The word is poly. P-O-L-E. Same way we would spell pole. It simply means I get that this is your problem and I know you have the resources to resolve it. Somebody comes up and complains to you. You don't say, I'm sorry, you have nothing to do with it. You say, poli, sana, which means very poli, which means I get this is a problem you have and I know you have the resources to resolve it. you know what? You got enough MPs to work on. Let everybody else deal with their YPs. And when they bring them to you and try and give them to you, poli sana, poli, I get that this is your problem and I know you can resolve it. And then finally, there are the GPs. Those are God's problems. I have a good friend who's in real estate, and his boss, he's in real estate sales, and he's done very well. And to reward him, every year his boss raises his quota. And every year, at the first of the year, we sit down together, and he's like, this is impossible, I can't do it. I said, do you realize you've said that every one of the last 9 years? And yet somehow you do it. He says, well, no, I guess I don't do it. And I said, no, you don't. That's a God problem. Anything that you don't know the answer to or you can't just be specifically working on for yourself, that's a God problem. And we're so hesitant to turn them over. And it doesn't matter what you call God, the universe, whatever, loving spirit. If you can just let it go with faith and trust that something outside of you is going to take care of it. You know, I realized as I was trying to contextualize this whole God problem thing, I realized it's actually kind of stupid because I said that the God problems are the big problems, right? Now I got a problem. I don't know how to make my lungs breathe. I don't know how to make my heart beat. I don't know how to make my food digest. I don't know how to do anything. You know what? Maybe it's all God's problem. And if we can get to that and let God just say, yeah, this is our problem. Let me show you what your part is. We do our part, and then we realize the answers and the solutions to the questions that we call problems. Let's seal this in prayer. Take someone's hand. Dear God, we give thanks for the gifts of problems, the very questions that they are expand our minds. What is it that needs to be answered or resolved is what a problem brings to us. We remember, God, that we are blessed with an abundance of our own problems to work on, and we do so, knowing that through that we grow. We also realize that others do as well, and we bless them on their path. And most importantly, we give thanks that we can turn anything and everything over to you, and it will be resolved in a manner which is best for all. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.